Heralds of Hope Incorporated presents Hope for Today.
Hello, friend, and welcome to Hope for Today. I'm J. Mark Horst, your friend and Bible teacher. The program you're listening to is produced by Heralds of Hope, an international gospel radio and literature ministry. For the past few weeks on Hope for Today, we've been studying from Daniel chapter 11. Our study is titled, Of Men and Nations. I hope you're enjoying our times together in this challenging and interesting book of the Bible. Today, we will conclude our study of men and nations. So listen carefully as I read the scripture text. There shall arise in his place one who imposes taxes on the glorious kingdom. But within a few days he shall be destroyed, but not in anger or in battle. And in his place shall arise a vile person, to whom they will not give the honor of royalty, but he shall come in peaceably and seize the kingdom by intrigue. With the force of a flood they shall be swept away from before him and be broken, and also the prince of the covenant. And after the league is made with him, he shall act deceitfully, for he shall come up and become strong with a small number of people. He shall enter peaceably, even into the richest places of the province, and he shall do what his fathers have not done, nor his forefathers. He shall disperse among them the plunder, spoil, and riches. And he shall devise his plans against the strongholds, but only for a time. He shall stir up his power and his courage against the king of the south with a great army. And the king of the south shall be stirred up to battle with a very great and mighty army. But he shall not stand, for they shall devise plans against him. Yes, those who eat of the portion of his delicacies shall destroy him. His army shall be swept away, and many shall fall down slain. Both these kings shall be bent on evil, and they shall speak lies at the same table. But it shall not prosper, for the end will still be at the appointed time. While returning to his land with great riches, his heart shall be moved against the holy covenant, so he shall do damage and return to his own land. At the appointed time, he shall return and go toward the south, but it shall not be like the former or the latter, for the ships from Cyprus shall come against him. Therefore he shall be grieved and return in rage against the holy covenant and do damage. So he shall return and show regard for those who forsake the holy covenant. And forces shall be mustered by him, and they shall defile the sanctuary fortress. Then they shall take away the daily sacrifices and place there the abomination of desolation. Those who do wickedly against the covenant he shall corrupt with flattery, but the people who know their God shall be strong and carry out great exploits. And those of the people who understand shall instruct many. Yet for many days they shall fall by the sword and flame, by captivity and plundering. Now when they fall, they shall be aided with a little help, but many shall join with them by intrigue. And some of those of understanding shall fall, to refine them, purify them, and make them white until the time of the end, because it is still for the appointed time. So far, in the text, Antiochus has known very few military and political defeats, but that's about to change. In one of his many forays into Egypt, he manages to capture the current Ptolemy, remember that's the title of Egypt's kings, but he fails to capture the city of Alexandria. And because of that, he's forced to withdraw his army. In a subsequent invasion, he's confronted by the forces of Rome at Alexandria, and the Roman general gives him an ultimatum: leave Egypt immediately or be attacked by Rome. And that made Antiochus really angry. But he had enough sense to do as he was told, and he conceded Egypt to Roman authority. Like most men with anger issues, that wasn't the end of the story, because Antiochus' anger was going to be vented on someone with less power. And notice who the recipients of that anger were. He shall be grieved and return in rage against the Holy Covenant and do damage. God's people Israel were about to experience Antiochus' full wrath. Evidently, according to verse 30, some of the Jewish people, fearing that wrath, will forsake the covenant in order to curry favor and protection from his administration. And he does favor them. Verse 31 outlines Antiochus' desecration of the temple and the altar. History tells us that Antiochus ordered his general, Apollonius, and 22,000 soldiers into Jerusalem on what he claimed was a peaceful mission. But once they got inside the city, they attacked the Jews on the Sabbath day, when the Jews were reluctant to exert themselves. Apollonius killed many Jews, and he took many Jewish women and children captive as slaves. He also plundered the temple, and then he burned the city. Antiochus' objective was to exterminate Judaism and to Hellenize Palestine. That is, he wanted to force the adoption of Greek religion and culture on the Jewish people. To accomplish that, he prohibited the Jews from following the Mosaic law, and he did away with the Jewish sacrifices. He canceled their festivals, and he outlawed the rite of circumcision. He even burned copies of their law. As a culminating measure, he installed an image of Zeus, his Greek god, in the temple, and erected an altar to Zeus on top of the altar of burnt offerings. Then he went further. He sacrificed a pig, an unclean animal, to the Jews on that altar and ordered the Jews to sacrifice swine's flesh on the altar. This happened on December 16th, 168 BC. The Jews referred to this act as the abomination that caused desolation. It polluted their altar and it made sacrifices to Yahweh impossible. And then Antiochus went even further. He ordered his Jewish subjects to celebrate his birthday by offering a pig to Zeus on this altar. This is the abomination that makes desolate, referred to by Jesus. The parallel prophecy is in Daniel 8:23-25. Just a note here about the critics of Daniel. If Jesus quoted Daniel's prophecy in Matthew 24:15, isn't that in itself sufficient evidence for the reliability of Daniel's prophecy? I'll let you decide how you want to answer that question. These actions by Antiochus brought about the Maccabean Revolt, where thousands of Jewish people were slaughtered. While the events that are listed here in our text were fulfilled historically in the reign of Antiochus, they are also prophetic of the future time of Jacob's trouble, or the Great Tribulation. In Matthew 24:15, where Christ is describing the Great Tribulation, he links the desecration of the temple as being similar in kind to the events of the end. Remember, Antiochus' desecration happened long before Jesus came on the scene. So Antiochus becomes a type of the future man of sin. His actions foreshadow the ultimate blasphemy of the Antichrist. Now note with me here Antiochus' ongoing attempts to subvert the Jewish people. By flatteries, he corrupts those who were nominally committed to the covenant. But the committed ones are commended for their strength and for their valiant deeds. You know, this was a time of separating the chaff from the wheat. Antiochus' attempt to destroy the Jewish people actually led to a revival of genuine worship, as much as that was possible. Many were instructed by the righteous, and they were urged to commitment by the example of the martyrs. It was during this time that the Hasidim group began to grow. They advocated for a strict observance of the Mosaic law, and they became the forerunners of the Pharisees of Jesus' day. It is sad to realize how corrupt the Jewish religious leadership became during this time. They were engaging in the very sins for which their forefathers went into captivity in Babylon. You know, I can only imagine the grief this must have been to Daniel as he received these prophecies. But this revival that was happening came with a high price. Notice the faithful fell by the sword, by the fire, by captivity, and by spoil for many days. Verse 35 says that this purging will continue until the time of the end. But the messenger specifically notes again that what is prophesied is yet for a time appointed. The end referenced is not the end of Antiochus, but the end of the age. Verse 36 then jumps from the time of Antiochus to the final generation prior to God's judgment of Gentile power and authority. It begins unfolding prophecy that is yet to be fulfilled. We'll take up that study next time. As we close, think about it. The God who controls human history, the God who orchestrates world events to fulfill his plans and purposes, that same God has your life and mine ordered too. Now it's true, he doesn't force us to follow his plans, but our lives will have far more meaning and far more joy, and far more purpose if we're willing to let him take control. Have you given him that privilege? I'm not asking if you raised your hand in a meeting and had a pastor pray for you. I'm not even asking if you've been baptized and have your name on the membership roll of a church. But what I am asking you is this: have you given God control of your life? Is he the master, and are you the servant? Or do you just need him when there are things you can't do for yourself? You know, the scriptures know nothing of claiming Jesus for salvation while rejecting him as Lord. So I urge you, make him your Lord and Master today. My friend, were you blessed by this teaching? If so, you can request an audio CD or a printed copy of this complete teaching of Men and Nations. The quickest way for you to contact me is to send an email to mail@heraldsofhope.org. That email address again is mail@heraldsofhope.org. Or you may write to Hope for Today, Box 3, Breezewood, Pennsylvania, 15533. And remember, you can request a printed manuscript or an audio CD of this teaching of Men and Nations. Now, once again, the quickest way for you to contact me is to send an email to mail@heraldsofhope.org. Or you may write to Hope for Today, Box 3, Breezewood, Pennsylvania, 15533. And remember, you can request a free copy of this teaching of Men and Nations. It's available either in print or on an audio CD. And don't forget, our Bible teaching programs are available to you all the time and anytime on the website twr360.org. That's twr360.org. Thousands are logging onto the site for spiritual nourishment and blessing. We invite you to join them so you can be blessed too. Now, friend, I urge you to tune in next week as we turn our attention to the final verses of Daniel chapter 11 and the opening verses of chapter 12. Our study for the next time is titled The Time of the End. And until then, keep looking for that blessed hope.